Amazing grace, oh how sweet the sound that saved a poor sinner like me. Though once I was lost, yet now I'm found. Though I was blinded, now I see. And it's all because of God's amazing grace. Because on Calvary's mountain, He took my place. And someday, some glorious morning, I shall see Him face to face. All because of God's amazing grace. When with a ransomed around God's throne, we'll praise our Redeemer and King. We'll tell how His mercy for sin did atone. Through countless ages this song we'll sing. It was all because of God's amazing grace. Because on Calvary's mountain He took my place. And someday, some glorious morning, I shall see Him face to face, all because of God's amazing grace. And someday, some glorious morning, I shall see Him face to face, all because of God's amazing grace.
Thank you for that song. Let me get my, I've got my Johnny Carson microphone right in here somewhere. All right. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to see this crowd. I have not seen this many white people in years. Somebody say, good night. I don't like being around white people because you're all big. Somebody say amen. Anytime I, by the way, I am thankful for this pulpit. Pastor Angel, thank you for getting this customized pulpit just for me. Amen. Yesterday he took me for a little tour of the church. And one of the very first things I do anywhere that I go is I check the size of the pulpit. Somebody say amen. And by the way, I heard some of you groan when he said I was a basketball coach. He didn't say a player. He said a coach. Somebody say amen. And it is a pleasure to be here. What a tremendous crowd. I thank God for all of you here today. But it really is. I'm not used to this many white folk. We're minorities in California. Somebody say amen. And at our church, Pastor Joe Esposito. By the way, I do want to say this. Thank you very much for being the sending church of our pastor. And, of course, this church, the Griffin family, took in our pastor's wife many, many years ago. And you know what? Well, you know, it's California. Somebody say amen. We do things just a little bit different. By the way, I noticed you do things a little different. I was looking at these drums over here, and I was checking that out. I saw an electric guitar somewhere right over here. But, Pastor, thank you for having me here today, and I've been looking forward to this. Now, I have not been looking forward to the weather. It was 81 degrees today in Long Beach. Last night when I went to bed, before I went to bed in the hotel, beautiful accommodations. Thank you, Pastor, for a wonderful hotel room, beautiful fruit basket. Turned the heater off just before I went to bed. That's how we do it back home. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up and I was freezing. I said, good night. God is not in this. Somebody say amen. You know, there's assets and liabilities to everything. Somebody say amen. You have the cold, and I remember when I was in Bible college, of course, I think Pastor Angel was in Bible college for 1 year while I was there. As a matter of fact, his wife just mentioned something today in the office. She said she remembered One time, her and her husband were sitting in chapel in front of us, my brother and I, and she said her husband was trying to get some sleep during chapel, and I kept waking him up saying, amen. But there's assets and liabilities to everything. Here, you've got the cold, and I remember, I'm originally from Chicago, and I remember going out soul winning when it's like 20 below zero. God's not in that. Somebody say amen. But you know, we have some liabilities too. We have some funny folk in Long Beach. Somebody say amen. It's called the Rainbow Coalition, and it's not Jesse Jackson. Hello. And I've actually had, you're not going to believe this. By the way, I used to be tall, dark, and handsome. Hey, young people, don't laugh, because things change when you get old. Somebody say amen. Actually, I used to be tall, dark, and handsome. I am an ex-airborne ranger, and every time I jumped out of an airplane, it got a little smaller and a little bit smaller and a little bit smaller. Every time I hit the ground, you say, man, you must have jumped a lot. Amen. But I've actually had, you're not going to believe this, I've had three different men in the last year and a half, say that I was good looking. Can you believe it? That's California. I mean, one of them, my wife was standing right next to me. And he looked at me, it was like a Burger King or something. I had just preached, I think it was at Pastor Kirk Beard's church, just got through preaching at a church. So my wife and I were on our way home, and we decided to stop at a fast food restaurant. I think it was a Burger King. And I'm standing there, make the order, and this guy looks at me. I mean, just looks me in the eye, gives me one of those. My wife hadn't given me one of those looking years. Somebody say amen. And he said, he looks at me and he says, you're not going to believe this. He said, has anybody ever told you you have good looking eyes? I said, my wife hadn't even told me that. So we have some of those, and I had another guy. Anyway, but assets and liabilities. Some of you thinking, we'll take the cold. Amen. Amen. If you have a Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Pastor, thank you for the opportunity to be here. I have been looking forward to this for well over, I guess it's a little bit over a year now. Proverbs chapter 4, thank you for the beautiful hotel room, the hospitality, the fruit basket. The bananas were spoiled, but anyway, it was good fruit basket. Amen. Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. It is a joy to see independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist young people come up here and sing. Especially the day and age we live and all the mess that we have in America, it is just good to see clean-cut, godly Christians. Somebody say amen. And thank God for... by the way, I need to ask this. How many of you know what PILOTS stands for? Does anybody know what PILOTS stand for? One person right over there. Good. Yeah, I think she's lying. Okay. Where's Steve at? Steve, I'm going to give you a $5 bill because are you the one who, in the hallway? Here I am. I'm the guest speaker, and I'm feeling bad. I'm thinking, man, I know on some of the paperwork they sent me, it said what PILOTS stood for, and but I couldn't remember, and I probably threw it away, and so I'm feeling real bad. So I'm thinking, man, I've got to find out before I preach on Wednesday night because I know everybody knows what it stands for. So Pastor picks me up from the airport. I mean, he's the dude in charge. Somebody say amen. So I ask him, what does PILOTS stand for? I said, good night. You got to be kidding me. What kind of outfit are we running over here? So we get to the church, and he's taking me for two. We ask some of the staff. I guess it was staff. And ask, nobody knows. And then he introduces, where's Brother Bragg? Brother Bragg, what a fine-looking young man. They would like you in California. Amen. He's cute. So I get introduced to Brother Bragg. By the way, I don't think he's cute. One of the guys from one of the other schools. Anyway, so I get introduced to Brother Bragg, and he's like the dude who's in charge. And so I asked him, what does PILOTS stand for? He doesn't know. Does anybody know? Now, one young lady right where I've got one young man right here. Anybody else? So I can make anything up. Anyway, Proverbs chapter 4, thank you for being here tonight. And we're going to try to get you out of here. Pastor said get out of here by 10:30 tonight. Especially because of those girls who were running around the hotel last night keeping me awake all night. Amen. So, no, they weren't. They weren't bad. I got to bed by 3 a.m. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4, let me just give you a little background, then we'll have you stand as we read the text this evening. Of course, the book of Proverbs is the book of wisdom, and God has given you and I instruction on how to live our lives. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, you'll find two different fathers, David and Solomon, giving instruction to their sons. And tremendous truths. And the truth of the matter is, I had contemplated taking all four messages the next couple of days just from Proverbs chapter 4. Tremendous truths. When you get to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10 through 27, which we're going to read in just a moment, you will begin to see, you'll see seven different times, you'll see the word way or ways, path or paths. You will find in these 17 verses, you will find that the basic thrust or the theme of this passage is to stay on the right path. Somebody say amen. And make sure you're going the right direction. Somebody say amen. This is a convention, and we call it fine arts competition. You call it pilot, so you have no idea what it's about. Amen. But this is a convention where we have young people coming together, and they are competing against one another. And I guess there's a lot of family competition, right? A lot of relatives competing. I guess a couple of the choir directors are related. That type of thing. That's bad blood. Somebody say amen. It's bad enough to get Baptists competing, but then if they're family, that's not good. Amen. But what we're doing is we're coming together with our natural talents, which God gave us, and spiritual gifts that God gave us. And by the way, those talents and those gifts have been given to you and to me for His glory and for the good of others. And God wants us to hone those talents and hone those gifts that His Son, Jesus, might receive all the glory. And by the way, He is worthy. Aren't you glad you're saved today? Somebody say, how about that blood? Somebody say amen. But in this passage that we're going to read, and I want you to take a mental note as we're reading. I'll read out loud, you read along with me silently. As we're reading, I want you to take a mental note of the word way, ways, path, paths. You're going to see that a father is given instruction about staying on the right path, heading the right direction. And may I say something? If we don't stay on the right path, the gifts and the talents that God's given us will not be used for His glory. And the truth of the matter is, in a crowd this size this evening, a few years from now, some of you are very talented and some of you have spiritual gifts that God has entrusted to you. You'll not be using them for God. And I think we'll find a key in this passage that I think will be a blessing and a help to us. Why don't we all stand, if you would? Proverbs chapter 4, we'll begin reading verse number 10. I'll read out loud. You read along with me silently. Again, Pastor, thank you for having us. Brother Jason, thank you for the meal today. You forgot to pay for it, but thanks for it. Amen. And just the hospitality. This is a beautiful facility. By the way, Brother Griffin, I guess you helped keep the place up and everything, but beautiful, well-maintained. Well-maintained. Thank God for it. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 10. The Bible says, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." Wonderful promise there. "I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened or restricted. When thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life." Notice verse 14, if you would. "Enter not into the path." Can I just say path? "The path of the wicked. And go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away." You almost get the impression he's trying to warn them to stay off the path of the wicked. For they sleep not, this amazing passage here, verse 16, for they sleep not except they have done mischief and their sleep is taken away lest they cause some to fall. Do you realize that there are actually some people in this world, they can't even get to bed at night unless they've caused somebody to stumble? That's a scary thought. And by the way, just about every church has one or two. We have to be careful. Verse 17, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence, but the path of the just is a shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Each of these passages, tremendous truths. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Very familiar passage, verse 23. Keep or guard or maintain thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyelids look right on, and lest thine eyelids look straight before thee. Let thy eyelids look straight before thee. Verse 26, ponder or think or meditate, contemplate the path of thy feet. The message there is, think about the path you're on. All of us this evening are on a path. All of us are heading in a direction. And we get the word tonight, ponder, think about, contemplate. Because that path is going to lead you somewhere. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity that we have to be here at Faith Baptist. What a tremendous church. What a tremendous pastor and family. This church is known all over America. This man is known all over America. We thank God for all these churches that are here, these schools, these young people, these men of God, Lord, who faithfully have served you throughout the years. You've used them, and today the fruit of their labors are here competing. I pray, Father, that tonight Christ would be exalted and glorified. I pray tonight, Lord, I realize in a setting like this, the last thing on most people's mind is the preaching. They're thinking about the competition. But I pray in the next few moments, Lord, that you would use me in just a little way to help, to be a blessing. Help us to understand this truth found in this passage in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm a city boy. I've grown up in the city all my life. Up until the age of 12, we lived in the city of Chicago. When I was 12 years old, my father was actually running from the law. We moved to California. We lived in Los Angeles, Long Beach area. Pretty big area. Pretty much all of my life. I did not get saved until I was 21. I'll share a little bit of my testimony over the next couple of days. I'm not going to share that tonight, but I'm a city boy. I like the city. When I preach in places like this, quiet makes me nervous. Somebody say amen. I like a drive-by shooting or two every night, amen. I believe cops ought to be out every night, amen. I like the ambulances, the helicopters hovering over the house. I'm used to that. When I preach in smaller towns, the crickets make me real nervous. Somebody say amen. I can't handle it, man. I just can't handle it. I'm a city boy, and all my life I've been in big cities, and it really is an adjustment to my son-in-law pastors out in the boonies. I mean, it's like way out there where the clouds don't even go. Amen. But I'm a city boy, but I've never seen anything like New York City. How many of you've never been to New York City? Raise your hand. You're not missing much. But anyway, about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, my wife and I'm the administrator of our school. We have a fairly large school, about 220 students. And about 6 years ago, we took a senior class of 13 students to New York City. And I had never been to New York City. I've been all over America, but I'd never been to New York City. I was looking forward to it. For the weekend, we rented a couple vans, two minivans, if I remember correctly. My wife had the young ladies in one vehicle, and we had the young men in the vehicle with me. We believe in separating the girls and the boys. Somebody say amen. And we're going to drive in the vehicles for the weekend, and we're going to go to Brother John Morgan's church on Sunday. And New York's just different. My wife, I'm lost without my wife. My wife and I have been married almost 30 years now, and really, I can't make it without my wife. And she does everything for me, and she always runs off directions wherever I travel. I can't afford GPS, amen. But I just can't. I'm on welfare. But anyway, that's not true. If I was on welfare, I could afford two of them. But anyway, somebody say amen. All I know is when I stand behind folks, anyway, we're in New York City, and my wife runs off directions, but she forgot to run off directions back. She normally would do that, and usually it wouldn't be too much of a problem, so she ran off directions. We get to Brother Morgan's church after the service, we leave. Well, unfortunately, like many big cities, New York City, they're like all one-way streets. Somebody say amen. So right when we get out of the parking lot, within just a couple moments, we're lost. Now, by the way, it's bad to be lost anywhere. But in New York City, it's real bad to be lost. Amen. And I'm a little hyper. Somebody say amen. I had ADD long before they knew what it was. By the way, I need my medication right now. It's just about 5 more minutes anyway. But I stress out a little bit. And we're getting on the road, and I'm lost, and my wife, we're both lost in New York City. We're lost for one another. And I've called my wife. I've said, man, I can't believe you didn't run off the directions backwards. And I said, man, each man fend for himself. I'm on my way. Somebody say amen. And I'm telling you, it was ridiculous. We were traveling all over the place. I'm trying to get directions to interstate or freeway, whatever they call it. I forget what they call it out there. In California, we call them freeway. I think you call them interstates out here, highways, whatever. But everywhere I go, nobody speaks English. Nobody. I mean, man, like 15 million people. No comprende. And by the way, it's everything. I mean, you name it, they speak it. Amen. And I'm asking different people for directions, and nobody speaks English, no comprende. That's I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. And finally, we pull off a road, and we're in some alley, not probably where you ought to be. Somebody say amen, New York City. And I see a white guy. I said, yes. I know he speaks English. Yes. And I asked him, I said, and I forget the name of the interstate, 17 or whatever. I said, hey, man, where's Interstate 17 or whatever it was? He was stone drunk. He was no help at all. I said, brother, it took me 3.5 hours to get back to the hotel, which was 17 miles away in New Jersey. But I do want to say this, I beat my wife. Amen. But that wasn't the worst part. It was Monday. Monday, we were using the public transportation. First, we jumped on a train, and the train wasn't too bad. That's crowded. And those are scary-looking people out there. Somebody say amen. And when you're only 5'3", you have to worry about things like that. Amen. Come on. That brother said amen. That's exactly right. We get on the train, and we get the train, and the train takes you to the, I guess they call it bus station or whatever, and then we're going to get on a bus. And as we get on the bus, we're trying to get on the bus. There's 13 seniors, my wife and I, and one other chaperone, I believe it was, one other chaperone. And we didn't have the exact change. Now, I don't think the bus driver was a Christian. Somebody say amen. But he was getting the flash big time. He was saying some things I can't say in church. But he was not a happy camper. And like I said, I'm a little ADD. I start stressing. And I looked at my wife, I said, and really, I depend on my wife for everything. Really, for everything. I usually don't have money in my wallet. She carries the money. I call her Judas. Someone say amen. But anyway, but I look at my wife. The guy said, they wanted each individual rider to have the exact $1.50 or whatever. Well, we didn't have it. So the guy goes, "Hurst, just ever get on the bus." Well, while he's getting all in a fuss, man, I'm starting to stress out. I'm looking for my medication. I said, got in at the hotel. He says, "Just ever get on the bus, we'll figure it out." So we get on the bus, and it's packed. If you've never been on a New York City bus, it is like not good. Not good. I could take the rest of the night just talking about that bus. Anyway, so he counts everybody, and then I'm standing up there, and man, it's all crowded. There's people. And he looks at me, he says, and I think it was $17.50 or something. He said, "That'll be $17.50. So I look at my wife. She's about 5-8 feet from me, but there's like 400 people between us. Amen. I look at my wife. I said, "I need $17.50. And then I saw my wife look at one of our seniors, a Filipino girl. Now, do we have any Filipinos in here? Any Filipinos? Do we have a couple? Now, you're not going to get, ma'am, you're not going to get offended, are you, when I say this? Good, because you look like you'd be one of, by the way, I'm the Filipino pastor at our church, okay? I don't speak the language, I don't eat the food, but I love the people, amen. But I'm just going to tell you right now, could you do me a favor? Could you close your ears just for one moment? Just for one moment. Not for long. Every Filipino lady is a blonde, amen? But anyway. By the way, my wife's a blonde. Don't worry about it. By the way, I used to be a blonde. Hey, don't sweat the small stuff. But anyway, all of a sudden I see my wife. She looks at Angel. Angel's a Filipino girl, sweet girl. She's in our Bible college now and just a wonderful girl. And she looks at Angel and she says to Angel, "Give me the blue bag." I'm standing there. And I said to myself, "Blue bag? Blue bag?" And we're in this middle of this bus, and there's like 5,000 people. I'm a good Baptist. Somebody say amen. There's only 20, but we 5,000, amen? You know how that works. But anyway, especially when it runs with the buses, amen? But anyway, so I by the way, when Brother Angel said we're going from Presbyterian to Baptist, I was getting ready to take my shoes off. Amen. So all of a sudden, I see Angel, the Filipina blonde. I mean, she's got black hair, but she's blonde. But anyway, I see her grab the blue bag. And you have to understand, I'm a real suspicious type of guy. And I'm looking at this blue bag, and I think this is the one. And I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding me. And then all of a sudden, Agil starts doing the unpardonable sin. In the middle of this bus, a whole bunch of people, we got the foggiest idea. They're all taller than me. Amen? By the way, I don't mind people ask, "Does it bother you to be small?" No, God made me that way. Amen? I don't mind going to churches like this when the men are taller than me. I don't mind when the women are taller than me. I don't mind when the teenagers are taller than me. It just bothers me when the kindergartners are taller than me. And half the time, anyway, all of a sudden, Angel starts to open. Tell me this thing's not going to open. Open the bag. Now, I didn't have a mirror, but I'm going to tell you, I'm sure my eyes went. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of that bus, New York City, she opens the bag and I can see money. Now, by the way, if I asked my wife, "Can you buy me some fake money for this illustration?" So my wife, here's what my wife gets me. Obama dollars. I said, Denise, I told you she's a blonde. I said, "This is not going to work for my illustration. So I've got to use real money." In fact, it looks pretty shaky crowd here, too. Anyway, so she opens up the bag, and you say, "What's in it?" I don't know exactly how much, but all of our senior trip money. There's probably a couple thousand dollars. And I'm going, "You've got to be kidding me." And my Edgel and my wife, just two good blondes. Edgel's got the bag open. It's like, "Does anybody want to see what's in the bag?" Man, I've seen guys with their pants hanging down to here, bandanas, bone in the nose. I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding me. And she's just holding it there. I mean, I think I'm like on Twilight Zone or something. It's slow motion. And I'm going, you have got to be kidding me. So I'm trying to be as inconspicuous as I could. Over my shoulder, I said, my wife's name is Denise. Denise, shut the bag. And my wife, what a blonde. She looks at me. I said, Denise, shut the bag. And my wife and Edgar, they're looking at me. And they're smiling. And I've got a real vivid imagination. And I start visualizing the next day. I see the New York Times, the front page. Assistant pastor, wife, 13 teenagers found dead in Central Park. Amen? No evidence, but an empty blue bag. And this is, I don't know how long this took, but it seemed like a long time. I'm sure it only took a couple seconds. At least a third time, I think four times, I look. Denise, shut the bag! You know, I'm trying to be Christian. I'm trying to have a Christian testimony on the bus. Amen? I'm trying to be a lover. I'm trying to love my wife like Christ loved the church. Sometimes it's a little difficult. Amen? Now, here's the problem. My wife, she doesn't think like me. I think like a criminal. I said, I'm sorry. Really. I'm an ex-gangbanger. I didn't wear my pants down to here. I just never could understand that. I don't trust people. Especially New York City people. Amen? You say, what has that got to do with the message? It doesn't have anything to do with the message. I just want to break the ice. No, I'm just kidding. Just a few moments ago when we read Proverbs chapter 4, all of these verses talking about stay on the right path, go the right way, avoid the wrong path. And then all of a sudden, like almost in the middle, three quarters of the way through, you find the key to staying on the right path. You find the key to staying in the right direction. Many of us this evening were gifted and we're talented and we're going to be competing over the next couple of days, and some will go home and you'll win awards and trophies and plaques and ribbons and whatever. And some of you are very, very gifted and talented, and God is going to use you in a mighty way as long as you stay on the right what? Path. As long as you continue down the right direction. And I believe there is a key, and I believe it's found in this passage. If you still have your Bibles open, look at the very familiar passage, Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 23. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, keep. The word keep means to guard or maintain. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I am going to propose to you this evening that the reason many gifted and talented people who at one time attended our churches, they were part of our youth groups, and they attended our Christian schools, and in many cases they were faithful members of our churches. They were going down the right path. They were doing something for God, and they truly loved God. They were truly saved. They loved God, and they were going in the right direction. And somewhere along the line, they got distracted. Somewhere along the line, they got detoured. I'm going to say this evening that I believe that one of the biggest reasons is we don't guard our hearts. We don't guard our hearts. You've heard the counsel before. It's bad counsel, but we've all heard it. Follow your heart. Bad counsel. If anybody tells you to follow your heart, that is an individual who does not know the Word of God. And that is an individual who does not know the heart of man. But I'm going to tell you tonight, Pastor, I'm going to tell you this evening that I believe, even though we know that that's bad counsel, I'm going to tell you this evening that most people do follow their heart. We can get up here and your pastor, whatever church you're from, your pastor can get up and preach and say our hearts are wicked and deceitful, and we can preach and say don't follow your heart. But the truth of the matter is, most people follow their hearts. Or a great majority do. Especially young people. So what is the key to staying on the right path? What is the key to continue in the right direction? What is the key to taking these gifts and talents that God has given me? And we know that we are to find and follow and finish the purpose of God. What is the key to being able to say like the Apostle Paul, man, I finished my course. You know, a lot of folks can't say that. And there are some here tonight who a year or two from now, you won't be in church. You won't be living for God. And it's not necessarily tonight because that's what you want. 15, 16 years ago, Long Beach is right next to a city called Compton. Has anybody ever heard of Compton? Compton, California, for many years, I don't think it is anymore, but for many years, Compton, California was the most violent city in America per capita. A lot of your gangster rappers came out of Compton. A lot of gang activity, if you've ever heard of Crips and Bloods, they all started in Compton. About 15, 16 years ago, I was reading our local paper, the Press Telegram. I was reading an article, and the article was about a husband and wife, and I believe it was three children. One night they got lost, and they were driving in the late night hours or the wee hours of the morning, one of the two. They were driving in Compton. They were lost, and they were looking for an address. And unknowingly, the father who was driving turned down the wrong road. Unknowingly. What the father did not know is that that road, street, happened to be a dead-end street. What he did not know is that that street was a street that was infested with gang members. What he did not know that evening or in the early hours of the morning, what he did not know is that the street that he turned down, he did not know that it was infested with gang members, and these gang members happened to be involved in a very heated gang warfare at that time. They turned down the street and slowly looking at addresses, trying to find whatever it was they were looking for. Shots were fired. And I believe, and I don't remember if it was 6 months old, but I believe it was a 6 month old baby was killed. A tragedy. Over the last 15, 16 years, I've often thought, I remember as I read that article, almost immediately I started thinking, about all these years, Pastor, and all these people that I've known who unknowingly went down the wrong path. And they were good people. They were members of our fundamental Baptist churches. They loved God. They loved the Bible, King James Bible. soul winners. I mean, just pillars in the temple of God. Something happened. They get distracted. They get detoured. And throughout the years, as I've thought about that article, and I've used this illustration many a time, I've often wondered, Pastor Angel, I've often wondered how many times that man has woke up in the middle of the night and has said something like this: if I had only not turned down that street. Hello? Now, by the way, none of us would fault him tonight. He did not know what he was getting on. He was lost. It was in the middle of darkness. He was lost. He turned down a road. He did not know anything about that road. So none of us would fault him tonight. But the truth of the matter is, throughout the years, there have been many Christian parents, there have been many Christian young people who, after a few years, they look back and they say, how did I get here? A few years ago, my brother and one of our assistant pastors, they were in either Kansas or Missouri. Actually, I think they were going from Missouri to Kansas. But they were going to an airport. And my brother, he's pretty slick. Whenever he gets tired, he said, can you take the wheel for a little while? I just sleep for a little while. A little while means forever. Somebody say amen. 5 years ago, he asked me, can you temporarily take the Filipino ministry? I've been there five years. Amen. You know how that works in our Baptist churches. Amen. So my brother looks at Brother Steve Myers. He says, hey, can you take the wheel for a little bit? I need to nod off. I need to get a little bit of sleep. So my brother, they switch places. My brother goes to sleep. Brother Steve Myers has the same disease I have. Some of you probably have the same besetting sin. It's called a heavy foot. Somebody say amen. He's flying. My brother's asleep for about 45 minutes or so. And when he gets up, and you know how it is when you first get up. My brother gets up, and he's groggy eyes, and Steve Myers, you know us Baptists, we're just a bunch of braggarts, amen? Steve Myers says, man, I'm making good time! So my brother's looking at the signs, and he's trying to figure out, he said, well, where are we? Brother Steve says, well, I don't know, but we're making good time. By the way, some of us tonight, we're in that, we don't know where we're at, but we're making good time. Finally, my brother's looking at the map and figured out, you know, like 30 minutes before they missed their exit. How many of you have been there? You missed your exit. You're just, man, you're making good time. It's only one problem. You're going the wrong way. By the way, some of us tonight may be there. Some of us tonight may be making good time, but we're going the wrong way. I remember one time we were going to Niagara Falls, my wife and I and family on vacation, and we drove through Michigan. My wife's family is from Michigan. We stopped there for a while, then we went to Niagara Falls, and I was making good time. Somebody say amen. Unfortunately, I missed my exit, and I don't know. I think I ended up in the North Pole or something. I don't know. Direction's big. It's really big. And in this passage we find, which I believe is a key, if I'm going to make good time but continue on this in the right direction, if I'm going to finish the course that God has set before me, if I'm going to be able to look back on my life at the end of my life, when I stand before the Lord, and be able to say, you know, I found and I followed and I finished. You know, a lot of people never find God's will. That's sad. Some people find God's will, and some of the young people here tonight, maybe at a youth conference or a youth camp, you found God's will, and God called you to preach, or God called you to ministry, God called you to... You found it. But you know, I found this out. A lot of people find it, but they don't follow it. But also sad is this, that some find it and some follow it, but they don't finish. And I believe with all my heart, one of the reasons tonight that many become casualties is because they don't guard their heart. May I say something, young people? You know when your preachers get up and they preach and they holler and they snort and they shout and they preach about the wrong crowd and the wrong music and they warn you about the dangers of the internet and all the things that we preach about, you know what they're really saying. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. When a pastor gets up or a youth pastor gets up and preaches to a group of young people and they're shouting and they're screaming and I mean they're pitching a fit and they're getting on the music of the day or they're getting on the wrong crowd, here's what they're really saying. Guard your heart. When we get up and we're trying to warn you, young ladies, let me tell you something, you better marry right. Wow. You better marry right. Young man, you better marry right. A lot of my friends, and Brother Angel would testify to this, a lot of my friends who went in the ministry aren't in the ministry today. They didn't marry right. Ladies, young ladies, you start giving your heart to a young man and he's the wrong man. Let me tell you something. He's going to take you down the wrong path. And preachers get up and we preach and our hearts get broken. Anybody who's ever had a Christian school knows this. We have young people who walk across a platform like this and we'll hand them their diploma and they'll walk off the platform and within a couple weeks, a couple months, they disappear. I mean, the SWAT team can't find them. Homeland Security can't find them. Somebody say amen. But you know what happened? While they were still in school, they weren't guarding their hearts. And when you don't guard your heart, it won't be long. You'll get off the path. You get off the path. And by the way, we have three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And may I say something? They make it look good. I tell our teenagers, and we have a lot of them. We've got a very, very young church. I tell our teenagers, don't let anybody ever tell you sin isn't fun. If it wasn't fun, there wouldn't be so many people doing it. Somebody say amen. But it's only fun for a season. For a season. And then there's a wake-up call. And the best way to avoid it is to follow the advice here. Avoid it. Don't even get on that path. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. For out of it are the issues of life. You'll begin to change the way you think. What you read. What you watch. I don't have, and I'm not preaching against television. I don't have a television in our home. We haven't had one for years. Can I just say something? You better be careful what you're watching on TV if you're watching TV. Hello? You better be careful. Look at those. We're living in an age. I preach a lot on technology. I mean, I preach a lot at churches on technology. Can I just tell you something? I don't know where all your churches stand on social networking sites, but can I just throw a little plug in here? You better guard your heart. I just suspended four students today. I'm 2,000 miles away from our school. I just suspended four students today because they weren't guarding their heart. As a matter of fact, two of them are going to get expelled. Social networking sites are killing our young people all over America. But let's just go ahead and talk about cell phones here for a minute. And text messaging, you better guard your heart. You better be careful. A lot of young people get in trouble with the technology. By the way, there's nothing. Look. A social networking site like a Facebook, for the most part, it's immoral. But I'll tell you what, it sure does bring a lot of temptations. And I'll tell you one thing, it sure does reveal a lot. And I'm just going to tell you, there are very few college age and high school age, junior high age kids that I've ever known of who could be on a social networking site and it'd be holy and
right.
And all of a sudden you start getting introduced to things that you didn't know about. And boy, I could preach on that for a long time. But you know what the preachers are preaching? They're saying, guard your heart. Ladies, God has a purpose and plan for your life. What a blessing to see all these young ladies come up here. And what a blessing it is to see ladies look like ladies. Hello? Just recently, I've got some brand new converts, and the ladies lately have been wearing dresses and stuff. And man, it's just exciting. And by the way, I know it's not the external, but what's in here comes out. But ladies, can I say something? God has a purpose and plan for your life. He's got a glorious future ahead for you. And you better guard your heart. Don't throw it away. What a heartbreak for those of us been in the ministry all throughout all the years. Young ladies coming back and they're bringing the babies to church. And they're trying to establish a Christian home, but ain't no daddy there. But the sad thing is, we warned them. And you know what we were saying? Guard your heart. Young men who at one time soul winners, worked on bus routes, worked in Sunday school classes. Good kids. Boy, it's good to see clean-cut boys like we see here tonight. Then all of a sudden, a couple years later, it's like, what happened to him? You know what happened? He didn't guard his heart. Next couple days, by the way, everybody, whether you get a trophy or a ribbon or whatever, if you give it all you have for the Lord, and by the way, that's what you're competing for the Lord, amen? Next couple days, I'm sure that all these judges are going to see some natural talents that have been given by God to a lot of young people. And there's going to be a lot of judges, they're going to say, a lot of potential there. And they're going to see some spiritual gifts. And some of the young men will get up and preach. Brother Jason, I guess, was picked me up, and he's judging the preach. I said, how's the preaching today? And I said, real good. And guys will get up and preach. And the judges will say, man, a lot of potential there. But let me remind you something. Potential won't buy you a bag of beans. God gave you those talents and gifts so that you could get on a path and you can find, follow, and finish the purpose of God for your life. You can bring glory to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is worthy. And then you can bring goodness to others and be a blessing. We live in a lost and dying world that needs Christ. We can't, listen, young people, we can't afford any casualties. America and the world needs you to represent Christ Jesus our Lord. We need every one of you, everyone who sang in this choir tonight, and everybody who will preach and teach and all the different competitions, the gifts and the talents God's given you. He gave them to you for a reason. Use them for that reason. The whole message tonight is simply this. Guard your heart. You won't regret it. You will not regret it. But if you don't guard your heart, if you're not careful, you don't walk circumspectly, a lot of spiritual landmines out there. Guard your heart. Let's all stand. Let's pray. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. As the piano player, I believe, is coming right now. With our heads bowed, eyes closed, let me ask you a question tonight. I probably went way too long this evening, and I know you're tired. It's been a long day. Some of you traveled, and you've been competing today. Listen, if you don't remember, our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you don't remember anything else, remember the blue bag. See, my wife and Edgel, they made a tragic mistake. They were exposing the contents of that bag, like many of us expose the contents of our hearts. With our heads bowed, eyes closed, let me ask you a question tonight. I wonder if there's some young people here this evening and you say, "Preacher, I love the Lord, and I want my life to count for Christ, and I want the talents and the gifts that God has given me. I want them to be used for His glory and for the good of others." Preacher, tonight God has used a little bit of the message to speak to me. And I love the Lord, and I'm living for God. And to the best of my ability, I think I'm guarding my heart. But God is speaking to me to be a little bit more careful tonight. Preacher, pray for me. Slip up your hand. We'll pray for you. Anybody like that? God bless your hands all over the altar. Thank you for your honesty. You can put your hands down. I wonder if there's some folks tonight say, "You know, preacher, the message tonight, God spoke to me. And to be honest with you, I love the Lord, but I've not been very careful at all." And even tonight, God has been pinpointing some things. Maybe it's friends. Maybe it's music. Maybe it's the internet. Maybe it's social network. There's something that is corrupting my heart. And it's a slow process. But tonight, God showed me something. I need to do business with God. Preacher, pray for me. Slip up your hand. We'll pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. I see those hands. I wonder if there's somebody tonight you say, "You know what, preacher, to be honest with you, I've really messed up. I've already allowed a lot of junk in my heart. But God is knocking, Christ is knocking the door of my heart right now. I want to cleanse my heart and I want to start fresh and anew tonight to guard it. I want to cleanse it. The Word of God will cleanse it. I want to get some things right tonight. Preacher, God has spoke to me tonight. Pray for me. Slip up your hand. We'll pray for you. Anybody like that? I see those hands. Thank you. The piano is going to start playing. As the piano plays, if God is doing something in your heart, why don't you come to this old-fashioned altar and do business with God? By the way, this is not just for the teenagers. Lord knows, we adults, we need it. More than that, we need it more than the teenagers. Why don't you take that first step of humility to walk out from your seat and come to this old-fashioned altar? It's crowded now. Come to this altar, or make right where you're at, you can make it a little altar and do business with God and just say, "Oh God, help me to guard my heart." And I'll give the invitation to Pastor Angel.